That was adorable, Brittany. And I am just completely loving this day. I know, like a lot of you, I am a hopeless romantic. So this setting is just right up my alley. I really love all the emphasis on Jesus pursuing us. And as women, we really love to be pursued. God made us that way. And just thinking about, you know, men and their strong muscles and their strong leaders and coming along and rescuing that fair maiden and running off into the sunset. It's just Enchanted, that movie Enchanted. So, Melissa, I'll go with Amy Adams in Enchanted. That's what I would want to be. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you now with grateful hearts that we can even be here and thanking you so much for the pursuit that you have of us. And I just pray, Lord, that you will help us to put aside any distractions and to just open our hearts to hear from you and to leave this place knowing just a little bit more, every single woman here, just a little bit more how incredible your love is for us and that we will embrace that love and live our lives out of that love. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And even still, I don't know if you guys can relate to being little girls and how we would plan that perfect wedding and that perfect dress, bridal magazines, flipping through the bridal magazines and flipping through the jewelry magazines, picking out the perfect ring. And even if you can remember fourth grade, well, if I were to get married now, like we're going to get married in fourth grade, right? But we hear this. If I were to get married now, you would be my maid of honor and you would be my bridesmaids. And then we'd be thinking about the beautiful dress and somehow we're all going to come down some magical spiral staircase, right? In that beautiful wedding gown and with very little thought as to who the groom is going to be. We could fill that in later. But it goes on over the years. And even with I have four kids, two of them are girls. And even through the years, listening to them talk about their weddings and at the different ages. And those names change. Then it's who's going to be. Well, now, if I got married now, Susie would be my maid of honor, and so-and-so and so-and-so would be the bridesmaids. Well, I want to tell you guys, as you take a look around this room and know that just about everything that you're seeing about this incredible day has somehow can be traced back to Noreen. So if I get married now, Noreen is going to be my maid of honor. She knows how to put on a party. But yes, Noreen. And as we run the course over those young, blissfully ignorant years, that face of the groom's replaced many times, but we still have that Cinderella image, that ball-like first dance, and then we grow up. And the same women in this room that have giggled with me over remembering that time as a child and planning our weddings have probably held a friend whose Prince Charming has left her and the father of her children has left her and her children devastated for another woman. Or you may be a woman in this room who has experienced that incredible broken heart of your Prince Charming leaving. But that's not all that's in this room. And I do want to give hope to everyone that hasn't, who's still in those days of planning your wedding, that there are women in this very room that I know of for a fact have lived that bridal dream. They were able to experience their knight in shining armor that God has provided for them. And they wake up every day with a man who truly loves God and loves them. There are women living that today. I know for a lot of us, it's hard to believe, but they're here. And it does happen. And also here, you might be a woman who had lived a long life with the man that you love and experiencing Jesus' love coming through that earthly prince. And you've said goodbye. He's gone on to heaven without you. And your heart is sad and have some loneliness and emptiness there. And then, of course, like our lovely girls that sing, there's plenty of women in here who are still in that stage waiting and planning for that perfect man. And then there's women in here who are, maybe you're single again, you've got through the hurt and the heartache and the disappointment of putting that love and trust in someone else, and God has brought you to a place where you are single again. But regardless of where you fall in any of these women, and if I've missed a category, wherever you're at, we all have the same thing in common. And that is, we were created with a need to belong. That's what this drawing is all about, is we have this inner desire to belong. And we also share that the only person who can completely and totally meet that need is Jesus. All of us have that in common. And I think that's important to take a look at, whether we're the women that are on the hurting side and starting over, never started, or you're living with a godly guy. Sometimes I think the gals living with that good guy almost have it harder than the rest of us. You know, we're not tempted to try to make a god out of someone who's not really living up to that, but it can be very tempting when you're living with this really great guy to follow the guy, to follow your husband, because he's following Jesus. We all have that same need and that same requirement that we follow Jesus directly, kind of like a triangle. We'll use Brittany and Gabe. Brittany having her relationship with Jesus, Gabe having his with Jesus, and then out of that, they have a love and can bless each other. So we learned today from Melissa's teaching clearly who it is that is pursuing us, who God is. And we know from Kristen's that he pursues us with his proposal. So now we're confronted with the idea and the reality of, how do we say yes to Jesus? How do we accept his proposal? Well, God gave me this little, I called it a ditty, but I found out from Kristen that it's actually called acrostic, and that's the I accept. So when we say I accept, we'll take the A, and it's I abide. We've been hearing a lot about abiding today, and one of the things that I like, and it might be elementary to some of you, but something that is really helpful to me, is whenever you have a word like that, like love, like abide, like commit, like some of these words that we hear all the time, is to look it up in Webster's dictionary and see how it's defined, because sometimes just a little bit of a tweak on that can give you a new perspective on a word that is overused. And we heard that with Kristen and Melissa, and they both talked about how abide means to dwell, and that is that living with them. It means to remain, and the one that stood out to me is to conform. So abiding with Jesus means that we are conforming to who he is and his ways. And what does this look like? Just if we could play it on a movie screen, what would an abiding woman look like? Well, I think it looks like time. As women, we spend time. We spend time talking about our husbands, we spend time with our children, and we need to be women that spend time. Purposefully take the time to spend with Jesus. It's time in his word, in devotion, quiet time spent every single day, time spent in prayer, time spent in fellowship with his people, with other people that love him. And that's a nice little plug for Bible study that starts this week. So that would be an opportunity to spend time with other people who love him. And with any relationship that we have, it requires time together. And Jesus is no different. We abide in him. We make him a priority, and we give him time. And the next thing that we do is I abide, I commit. So committing to the Lord looks like, well, Proverbs 16:3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. And then Jesus said in John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So it's like with any proposal, if we are faced with a proposal in real life, to say yes means to make that commitment. That's really what it's about. It's that ring that symbolizes that you're committed to someone else. And commitment is the cement. In our culture, we see that wearing of the ring to reflect that commitment to one another. And Webster's puts it this way: to pledge or assign to some particular course. And I really liked that. It's pledging and taking the course towards Jesus, with Jesus. And with our commitment to Jesus comes a commitment to each other. And what does commitment look like? Well, I think commitment looks an awful lot like abiding. It's the same things and the reasons why we're doing it, that we are spending time together, that we are serving in some of the ministries that were brought up here. If we're looking at it on a movie screen, abide and commit looks like that woman who has her Bible open, who's on her knees in prayer, who's spending time with the people who are encouraging that relationship and that growth. So we have I abide, I commit, and I confess. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Keep short accounts with God. We need to be quick to confess when we're wrong and be quick to implement a plan of repentance, which is that turning from that wrong, not just confessing, yes, I know this is wrong, but put a plan in place to turn from it. The reality is every single one of us here will mess up every single day. And the habit we need to get into is as soon as we hear ourselves saying, I can't believe I just said that, or you hear something come out of your mouth or your thought, or you do something, I know better. Why did I do that? Right then, you've realized. Take it at that point. Confess it, accept that forgiveness, and move forward. And don't allow ourselves to get hung up in that that mess like Kristen showed of just that goop of guilt and shame. He died so we don't have to do that. So be quick to confess. So I abide. I commit. I confess. And I expect only Jesus to meet my needs. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loved the world or the love of the Father is not in him. And God goes on to say, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides. Did you catch that? Abides again, the word of the day. Abides forever. And Psalms 27, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And I think some trusting in chariots and horses would be like today us trusting in things, trusting in the security of our house, trusting in the security of our job, trusting in the resources that we have to work from, and not forgetting, which scripture says, where our ability to have those resources come from. And I really like this one, Psalm 118:9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. And I think of in a time like today, where it's our Prince Charmings, that we're better off putting our trust in Jesus than putting our trust in the men, even a man that God has provided. And again, in Psalms 146:3, it says, do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man, in whom there is no help. Jesus is the absolutely only one who can meet our every need. And we cannot, it doesn't even make sense to try to trust a mere man with a job that can only be met by a God, by our God. So what does this look like? Not putting expectations on people. Well, Noreen is again an awesome example of that. Noreen is somebody who will, and I know there's many women in this room who have been blessed by Noreen, and she does. She blesses other people out of her love for Christ with no expectation. I see lots of heads nodding, you guys know, without any expectation of what's going to come back, because her reward isn't in our response to what she does for us. Her reward is, it's between her and Jesus, what she decides to do and how she blesses us. And I think she's an amazing example. And if you're going to form a line behind anybody, that's the gal to form a line behind, because she knows she's gotten that one down. But it is that. It's not putting expectations on our friends. We do something nice for them, and then we get disappointed because we're expecting a particular response that we don't get. Really, if we think about it, what is that response? It's praise. Do we really want to be praised and worshipped? No. We want the people in our life to turn their praise and worship to Jesus. So just let go of it. It doesn't matter what the response is. Whatever you decide to do for your friends, for your family, for your husband, do it out of that outpouring of love that Christ has given to us. And then let it go. whatever happens from there, the reward is from heaven. And I think of another example would be our husbands. Well, your husbands. I don't have a husband, but the husbands. If your husband doesn't do the dishes, and you're in Brittany starts nagging him because she needs help, right? I don't know if she does, but she talked about nagging. And this is a common one. I am not the only one that works in this house. You are not the only one that works in this house. All these kids are yours too. I can't keep this house together all by myself. I need you to jump in and help me. And if you loved me, you would understand that, how tired I get. So this goes on, I think, pretty commonly in most households. How about we try this? You come home, there's that dirty sink again, piled high, food still on it, despite your many attempts to ask them to rinse it first. You've got dried Cheerios and curdling milk, the whole works. Take a deep breath and just use that as a time to pray for your husband and pray for your kids. They're not going to do the dishes, so we might as well pray for them, right? And they've got to get done. So, and the difference is you're coming to this exhausted, and when we go and we're praying, spending that time, we can't walk away from that without being invigorated. And it's a time to focus on Tracy's husband is a retired police officer. Is yours a police officer, a firefighter? Pray for his safety. I guess actually in this day and age, regardless of where they work, we need to pray for safety at work. Pray for whatever it is that he's going through. Pray for his relationship with God. Don't be praying that he'll get the hint to do the dishes. That's not what this time, that's not what I'm talking about. It's just focusing on him and his relationship with God. And for your kids, just be thankful. Thank God that you have kids healthy enough to leave the Legos all over the living room. Pick them up, and then those are just a couple of things that I think of might be examples of what it could look like to not put the expectations on other people to meet our needs. If you come home and the dishes are suddenly done, thank Jesus and your husband. And so then after we've got I abide, I commit, I confess, I expect no one but Jesus to meet my needs, and I protect us. Make a commitment to protect that relationship that you have with Jesus. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. The battle between the flesh and the Spirit is never more present than dealing with men and women. Fight it. The flesh can take what is a relatively intelligent woman, strong, spiritually grounded, godly woman with years of training and education, and turn her into a silly, giggling schoolgirl if she doesn't have that armor in place to protect her against those deep voices and big muscles and blue eyes, right? And don't think you're above this lady. I think that, ladies, I think that this is something that's really important, is that even Scripture talks about to take heed lest you think that you stand. That if you're thinking, I've won this battle, I'm good, take that to prayer. Because we need to have an active plan in place to feed our spirit. The flesh is going to feed itself. The flesh is selfish. It will actually gorge itself on the abundance of illicit things that are available to feed our flesh in our society. And it's exercised, it's fit, it's ready for the fight. We need to give our spirits a chance in this inevitable fight. It's inevitable. And the only way that's going to happen is if we're training our spirit, if we're spending time feeding our spirit, if we're spending time getting our spirit ready for this fight, and then developing that plan to keep things protected and to keep sin at bay. And an example, this is my, again, what does it look like? This is my opinion. I want to clarify that. It's nowhere in Scripture, but this is what I kind of think might be one thing. If you're a married woman, there's really no reason for you to be spending any friend time alone with another man. I'm not talking about your brother or your dad. I'm just talking about a friend. We have these, and we live in a culture where this is just so common and accepted, and it's great, but it's not wise. And just because it hasn't resulted in sin doesn't mean it won't. I think that the most intimate parts of who you are, your heart, your secrets, your concerns, that needs to be saved for your husband. And for single ladies, I think implementing the plan of wisdom and accountability, whether you're in the single group that has never been married or whether you're single again, you need that in place for when that potential love interest develops. Because again, there's that mesmerizing sound of a man's voice speaking those lovely things to you. A woman can lose power. But when you repeat those lovely things and the things he did that you thought were so amazing to a godly friend, that can slap some sense into you, then it can be part of the plan to stay right. And it's not to say that there's not that proper time for the men to have that, those things that we like about them. But in singleness, beware. And a good example of this is, my daughter goes to college in Iowa. And the group that she belongs to has implemented some ground rules that these college kids, and these are like hormone-ridden college kids. So what they have going is that they just get to know each other in groups. And they don't do any one-on-one dating until you get to the point where you're ready for marriage. And really, when you think about it, there's no reason to. It just sets you up for heartache and potential falls that can really affect a woman for the remainder of her life. And so something like that is what I'm talking about with protecting your relationship with God, is putting things in place so that you won't, if it means going off Facebook, go off Facebook. you will live, really, I promise. There is life outside of Facebook. But then when you know that you're ready, you're at the time God has brought some healing, or you're at that age, you know that you're ready, that God has called you into marriage and not into singleness, then that's the time to, with wisdom, spend that time getting to know them in a different way. And I think that we can, I know I'm old-fashioned, but I think we can look at it when we're so buried in Jesus and we're not focused on spending the time with getting to know people that we know we're not even interested in marrying, it makes that man like Mike. And the video of Tracy was really just brings this point to life, that make that man go through Jesus to get to you. And then I think we're going to be in a good place when a man has to go through, and that can be speaking to our husbands as well, be so wrapped up in Jesus that they really do need to know Jesus to get to us. And then we're talking about Jesus can meet our every need. We've got this wonderful romantic day where we're just focusing on how Jesus is capable and does and will and abundantly more than we expect meet absolutely every need. So I would be remiss not to bring up sex. Now, there are certain people that you don't want to talk about sex with, right? I don't really enjoy talking about sex with my kids. I'd just rather pretend like it doesn't happen. Or my parents. And pretty much you guys. So I'm asking for grace as we approach this subject. But the reality here is that God created sex. He's the one who came up with this whole idea. And he intended it to be a gift, an absolute gift to marriage. He intended that sex would be pure, holy, and private. It would be the ultimate expression of love between a man and the woman that he's married to, as well as to facilitate procreation. But the enemy has come along and perverted sex so completely that even the fact that I'm blushing and wanting to ask for your grace to talk about it. I mean, that's because of what the enemy has done to sex. And we know it's an overriding. It has become one of the enemy's primary arsenals for bringing down believers and for bringing down people, if not his primary one. It's huge. We all know this. But imagine with me just for a moment what the world would be like if sex had remained the way God intended it to. Just for a minute. I know it's hard, but really try to think, what if sex really truly only took place privately between those married, joined in that holy union. And for many of us here, that would be life-changing. It could change the course of our lives if we had been born into a world where sex was what God intended it to be. There wouldn't be rapes. We wouldn't have the molestations. We wouldn't have women going through years and years of counseling because of the perversions that Satan has done to what God intended to be a gift. But the bottom line, as it relates to us women, regardless, married, in a difficult marriage, single, single again, we don't need sex. God is here, and Jesus can meet absolutely every need. Sex isn't one of them. Oh, our flesh will tell us it is, definitely. And Satan will want us to believe that it is. But sex is a gift from God for those embattled with the responsibility of marriage. So come to the truth about what it is and protect our relationship with him. Then the last one is, I tell others. So 1 John 4:12, the bottom line of that section is, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And in Matthew, Jesus tells us that whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Talk about Jesus. We all talk about the man we love. I sit and listen to it all the time. Sometimes it's not the best conversations, but it's really fun when it's a woman who's truly in love with her husband. I have a gal at work. I've just started a new job. And she'll get to talking about her husband, and she just lights up when she talks about her husband. They're newlyweds, so we'll see how they're talking in a year. But I watch her, and I think, I want to light up like that when I talk about Jesus. I really want to just, and I want to be able to just have that amount of passion when I'm sharing Jesus with a room full of new coworkers. And along the same line is Joni. When Joni talks about how God has blessed her with such a godly, loving man, and she gets to talking about Mark, you might as well get comfortable because it's going to be a while. But it's so nice. It's so refreshing to hear a woman talk about her husband in a positive, wonderful way like that. But at the same time, we want to be able to do that with our love, Jesus. Stand up for him. In my former job, just before this one, I was deemed Mama C. And I was called Mama C because I worked with and for a bunch of people that were basically the age of all my children. So they called me Mama C. And these younger kids nowadays, their language is just different than the way it was when we were older. I don't know, for those of you that are younger. And my kids are trying to tell me, Mom, relax. It's just, you know, it's not as bad as it was when you were. But to me, some of these words were just offensive. And it became an issue. And so it all got brought to a head, and Eddie decided, all right, all right, all right. And it's the blank bomb. So no blank bombs when we're with Mama C. No, and so everyone was going to hold their bad language around Mama C. And then we hired this little tiny adorable girl. She's really about this big. Will always be dear to my heart. And she's got a personality the size of this room and language like, I didn't even know some of the meanings of the stuff she would say. She never had a sentence. It was really in your face, bad stuff. And she had the rule that no bombs around Mama C. And we worked alone frequently, and she was always using Jesus' name in vain, and always, 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 always. And it just grated on my skin. And then there was a time where we're sitting there, and she says his name like that. And I said, no, 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 don't. Please don't. Please don't do that. We're really close. We're best friends. And she laughed. She's, you're best friends with Jesus? And we went on to have this really great conversation about how I love him, and I don't use her boyfriend's name like that, and how if I did, it would freak her out. And we did. We did all of this laughing, and she was very sincere. She goes, okay, okay, okay. And we had a super conversation about Jesus. What an opportunity to share Christ with her. And then we, you know, a few weeks later, we're in a meeting with everybody, and she's dropping the bomb, just dropping it all over the place. And I'm not flinching because, you know, we had this arrangement. Oh, I haven't told you guys that arrangement yet, have I? So she says to me with incredible authenticity, I don't think that, so that means I can't drop the bomb. I can't use Jesus' name like that. So that probably means God too, right? I said, yeah, it does. And then she said, I honestly don't, and I don't, she didn't want to hurt my feelings if they slipped out, because she honestly didn't think that she could remember all of those different things. So that's when I said, hey, I'll give you the bomb if you leave Jesus and God out of it. And so we're in the meeting, she's dropping the bomb, and I wasn't flinching, and one of the guys says, wait a minute, how is it that she gets to say that, and none of the rest of us can say that around Mama C? And she was so cute. She bursts up and she goes, I traded the bomb for Jesus. So I just said, yeah, she did. And we, you know, it's fun. And let's face it, if we're in one of these tables today and someone started talking bad about someone that you love, we would speak up. We would be uncomfortable. There's no doubt that it's uncomfortable, but we would speak up. And if somebody said something about, I think about our friends and our kids and our husband, I mean, we're going to stand up. We're going to say something. If nothing else, remove ourselves from that group. And I just think that we need to give Jesus at least the same amount of respect. I know, and there's probably people in here who can relate to this too. As moms, you know, again, you take a woman who is grounded. She spends time in the Word. She's a solid Christian. But you do something with her kids, and we get a little crazy. Yeah? And I think of Betty Jo. Don't mess with Betty Jo's kids or someone's going to get hurt. Stay out of the way. But with that same kind of passion and that same kind of love, if we can tell people about Jesus and tell them that how much we love him and what he means to us. So I accept. How do we say yes to Jesus? We say, I accept. I abide in him, I commit to him, I confess quickly to him, I expect no one but him to meet my needs, I protect us, and I tell others about him. Ephesians 1:6, to the praise and glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So please, ladies, join with me today as we tell Jesus, I accept. Let's pray. I accept. Thank you. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Jesus, we do. We come before you with passion and with excitement, grateful for all that you have done for us, and even just acknowledging that we wouldn't even be able to pray if it weren't for all that you have done for us. And we do, collectively and individually, want to say to you that yes, Jesus, we do. We say, I do. We say yes, that we say I accept to your amazing proposal and your amazing love. And it's in your precious name that we pray. Amen.